بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله رب العالمين، وصلى الله على نبينا محمد وعلى آله وصحبه وسلم. In the name of Allah, the most beneficent, the most merciful, I testify that there is no true God worthy of worship except Allah, and that Muhammad is Allah's true slave and messenger. May Allah's salah and salam be upon the Prophet, the Messenger Muhammad alayhi salatu wassalam, upon his household, and upon all the companions and those who follow on their path until the day of resurrection. It is from the foundations of Islam is to hold to the unity which is based upon Tawheed, and not to disintegrate away from this path. قال الله تعالى in Surah Al Imran, chapter 3, verse 103, وَاعْتَصِمُوا بِحَبْلِ اللَّهِ جَمِيعًا وَلَا تَفَرَّقُوا وَاعْتَصِمُوا بِحَبْلِ اللَّهِ جَمِيعًا وَلَا تَفَرَّقُوا. And hold fast all of you together to the rope of Allah. And the rope of Allah is Islam. And the rope of Allah is Kalimatul Tawheed. And the rope of Allah is the Quran. All of these are synonymous. And not be divided among yourselves. And remember Allah's favor on you. وقال الله تعالى in Surah Al-An'am, chapter 6, verse 159, إِنَّ الَّذِينَ فَرَّقُوا دِينَهُمْ وَكَانُوا شِيَعًا لَسْتَ مِنْهُمْ فِي شَيْءٍ إِنَّ الَّذِينَ فَرَّقُوا دِينَهُمْ وَكَانُوا شِيَعًا لَسْتَ مِنْهُمْ فِي شَيْءٍ. Verily those who divide their religion and break up into sects, all kinds of sects, you Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam have no concern in them in the least. The Muslims, the early Muslims, began on the same path, the path revealed to the Prophet alayhi salatu wa sallam, the path of guidance and deenul haqq, the deen of the truth, which is in agreement with the essence, the true essence of Tawheed. Those early Muslims were on that. They agreed to that until the time when Uthman radiallahu anhu wa arda, Uthman ibn Affan, the third Khalifa, the third Caliph, when he was assassinated and the fitna began, there emerged the Khawarij, the dissidents, whom the Prophet alayhi salatu wa salam warned regarding their emergence, and that they will kill the believers. Following the emergence of this innovation of Khawarij, afterwards began the emergence of Bid'at al-Tashayyu', the bid'ah of Shiaism, and then other sects also followed, as the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam informed of the division of this ummah into sects. The rejectionist Shia began in Kufa in Iraq, as Shaykh al-Islam Ibn Taymiyyah mentioned in his مجموع الفتاوى volume 20 page 301, and also in the history books of the Shia themselves, like in their reference known as Bihar al-Anwar, volume 100, page 259, they mentioned that none in the Muslim world accepted their call except the Kufa. Then it propagated from the Kufa to other places. Also, the innovation of Irja, the Murji'a sect, began in Kufa, and also those who denied the pre-decree and the Mu'tazilites. While the beginning of Sufism began in Basra, while on the other hand the Jahmites began from the site of Khurasan. And as you can notice, most of these innovations began far from Medina, because innovations sprout and propagate when there is ignorance, in the shade of ignorance, and in the absence of ilm, knowledge, and people of iman. And that's why some of the Salaf, may Allah's mercy be upon them, said, it is from the true happiness for the new Muslim and for the non-Arab that Allah guides them to a alim, to a scholar from Ahl Sunnah. And this is the saying of Ayyub al-Sikhtiyani, rahimahullah. Why? Because of the speed influence regarding innovations. They fall due to ignorance into that easily, because they are not able to distinguish the misguidance from the truth, and to unravel the reality of these misconceptions and innovated matters. And that's why the best path to resist the innovations is to spread the Sunnah amongst the people. This is the best way to resist and disclose and expose the realities of innovations, is through the teaching of the Sunnah and propagating the Sunnah amongst the people, and to revive it. And that's why the scholars of Ahl Sunnah took upon themselves this task in the past and disclosed the real affairs of the people of innovations and refuted their shubuhat, their misconcepts. As Imam Ahmad rahimahullah, the Imam of Ahl Sunnah, refuted the heretics and the Jahmites, and as Imam al-Bukhari rahimahullah refuted the Jahmite sects, and as Ibn Qutaybah rahimahullah refuted the Jahmites and the Mushabbiha, those who likened Allah to his creation, and also as Ad-Darimi rahimahumullah ajma'in, in refuting Bishr al-Marisi and others. There is no doubt there is no doubt that exposing the sects that deviated from the path of the early Muslims and deviated from the Sunnah is a necessity in order to lift the misconception and in order to make the truth known to the people, and in order to propagate the religion of Allah and to establish the proof on these sects. That is because of the danger of shubuhat, of doubts and misconceptions, and the danger of ignorance. Ignorance constitutes a fertile ground for the nourishment of innovation and of its spreading. Explaining the and exposing the situations of the leaders of innovation, those who oppose the Kitab, the Book of Allah, and the Sunnah of the Messenger alayhi salatu wasalam, is an obligatory matter as agreed upon by Muslims. Even it is said to Al-Imam Ahmad bin Hanbal, the man fasts and prays and goes into seclusion, is he more beloved to you than the one who speaks, meaning exposes the people of innovation? He said, if he establishes the salah and siyam and the seclusion, this is for himself only. But when he speaks regarding the innovations and their people, then this is for the Muslims, meaning for the betterment of the Muslims. And he said, وَهَذَا أَفْضَلْ, and this is better. So he made it clear, rahimahullah, that the benefit transcends the person to the Muslims regarding their deen, and that this is from the same kind of jihad in the cause of Allah, because it is a purification in the cause of Allah and in the cause of His deen and His methodology and His sharia, warding off the transgression of the innovators on the deen and on the Muslims. And that's why this is a matter of obligation in agreement. And had it not been for this, then the deen would be corrupted. And the corruption of the deen, remember this, and the corruption of the deen is far greater than the corruption of an enemy taking over a land in war. And the corruption of the deen is far greater than the taking over of enemies in war, taking over lands. Because if these enemies of Allah occupy, then they will not corrupt the hearts and what's in it in the deen, except as a consequence. But with respect to the innovators, they corrupt the deen initially, as stated by Shaykh al-Islam Ibn Taymiyyah in his book Majmu'at al-Rasa'il wal-Masa'il, volume 5, page 110. And in our times, there is a great fitna which goes back to the time when it began and continues to influence many Muslims and cause confusion to many because of the deceptive manners and because of the deceptive manners employed in the propagation of their fitan, and also because of the ignorance on the part of many Muslims regarding this particular sect and its fitna. We are talking about the fitna of the rejectionist Shia, the Rafida. Who in our times had focused upon a fertile ground for the dissipation of their innovations. The ground which mixes politics with emotions in order to publicize and call for at a later stage for the acceptance of their creeds. This particular sect is the most active sect in our times from the deviant sects that is keen about spreading their doctrines amongst Muslims and particularly targeting Ahl Sunnah. The choice to talk about this sect is because of different reasons. First, this sect, with regard to its resources and its books, constitute a major, if not the major, deviant sect. They, even their call their creed, they call it Deenul Imamiyya, the Imamite Deen. Remember, they use the word Deen, the Imamite Deen, Deenul Imamiyya, as stated in their books, like in the book of Al-I'tiqadat by Ibn Babawayh. He calls it Deenul Imamiyya, not the madhab of the Imams. And there is a difference between the two. Not just a madhab, a school of thought of the Imamites, but rather the Deen, Deenul Imamiyya. Why? Because to make it distinct and separate from the Deen of the Ummah. Sufficient for you to know that one of their resources of narrations from the Imams, underline, comes to 110 volumes, which is known as Bihar al-Anwar, the Seas of Lights, for the author Al-Majlisi, who died in 1111 after Hijrah. Second, because this sect, as said earlier, is keen about propagating their creeds, and they call for that. And they have full-time callers and propagators, well-organized, almost in every place. There is a cell and there is activity. Their most concern is targeting Ahl Sunnah. They are exerting a lot of effort to spread their creed in the Muslim world and to export their revolutions and to establish their greater state using all means. Many Muslims, unfortunately, move to accept this sect gradually due to emotions and due to politics. And if one only examines in Iraq itself, whole tribes in Iraq before this crisis turned into Shia. This whole area of Basra in the south was Shianized. Whole tribes, in addition, many of the embassies of their so-called Islamic State in Iran have turned into active cells calling for the propagation of their creed, giving support to cells amongst their students in many parts of the world, and getting in connection with many Islamic centers and influential Muslims in their communities with verbal support and financial support. And they focus upon the da'wah to the Muslims, calling the Muslims to their path, more than giving da'wah to the kafirs. And again I stress, calling for their path. There is no doubt that the responsibility is great to provide the truth regarding this matter, since many of those who followed Shiaism, the rejectionists, are doing so through two angles: the angle of politics, and given the status of the Ummah, since these advocators of this sect proclaim themselves to be the defenders of the Ummah, and in fact their main objective is the dominance of their creed, and also because many innocent Muslims, because of their love for the household of the family of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, had fell into the trap of Shiaism. Thirdly, it is because that this sect comprises most of the Shia sects which existed in the past. It constitutes its origin with respect to the sources and thoughts and the creed. So it is a kind of a reference. And fourthly, because this sect has efforts of calling for so-called closeness with Ahlul Sunnah in many parts of the Muslim world where they find an ear for that. An ear by some amongst Ahlul Sunnah who are ignorant of the reality of the sect. So they accept such conferences, such meetings called for by the rejectionists under the banner of التقارب مع أهل السنة, getting closer to أهل السنة, means of nearness with أهل السنة. They established centers for that, they sent propagators, they established societies which carry the banner of Muslim unity. Few amongst them were able to find out that through this procedure of getting closer or closeness, they found that this is very deceptive. But unfortunately this is only few compared to the number who are still deluded by this call. Fifthly, this ta'ifa, this sect, mentions a lot that its way is not different from the way of Ahl Sunnah, and that they are persecuted and injustice done to them. So they come to common Muslims and they tell them, we don't have much difference, we only may differ in terms of the madhab, school of thought, in fiqh matters only. And many believe them. In fact, there are Muslim groups who attribute themselves to the Sunnah. If you check their works, you find it written in their works that this sect differs from Ahl Sunnah only in matters of fiqh. And this is a real oversimplification. In fact, this is false. Had it been just a matter of fiqh difference, this would have been tolerable overall. Sixthly, it is also because of this creed's attack on the Sahaba. May Allah be pleased with them all and on the mothers of the believers. Through their books, which are published in the past and in the present, and also because of their severe attack regarding anyone who attempts to criticize them under the banner, well, this divides the unity, they come through that, or this will block the attempts to get closer, and also will interfere with the objective of having one Muslim Ummah. Seventhly, it is because this creed of this sect is established on a matter known as At-Taqiyya, concealment. And that anyone amongst them who does not believe in this, then he is a kafir by their doctrine. So therefore it becomes very difficult to deal with them when it comes to the normal Muslim and to the common Muslim, because of deception and concealment and lies, and also because many of the contemporary writers who wrote about this rejectionist sect failed to expose the true creed of the sect. Many of them talked about or focused only on the political aspect, and also some of them attempted through their writings to bring Ahl Sunnah closer to them under the banner of unity of Muslims. Few who wrote in details about the true creed of this sect. Our righteous predecessors, however, wrote, and they called them the Rafida, and we will come to know why. And their works were very influential in helping exposing the realities of the sect, as in the books of Abi Nu'aym and the books of Shaykh al-Islam Ibn Taymiyyah and the works of Al-Maqdisi and Al-Fayruz Abadi and in the books of the creed and sects. However, these works came before the widespread of the books of Shia. And so, some of the early works were focused upon refuting what came out from the books of Shia. And very few of the past work focused upon their creeds in a comprehensive manner. And also because the nature of this sect develops with time and from generation to generation. To the extent that one of their elder shiukhs, known as Al-Mamqani, wrote that whatever is considered to be excessive with the early Shia, nowadays it is from the necessities of the madhab, of the sect. And so therefore, this necessitates that we should look at the changed nature or the true face of the rejectionists, Rafida, in our times as well. Also, it should be pointed out that also some of the refutations written in the past and some written now in our times are focused upon certain doubts or misconceptions raised by the Shia regarding some of the works of Ahlus Sunnah. So Ahlus Sunnah then refute them by making it clear that these texts which the Rafida refer to are either fabricated or weak or unfit for a proof. However, it should be emphasized that the rejectionist Shia don't believe, to start with, they don't believe in the books of Ahlus Sunnah. And they raise these misconceptions in order to, first, make Ahlus Sunnah busy with these doubts. Instead of exposing their nature and their works. Second, also to convince those who have trouble with their creed from amongst them, or those who have doubt regarding creed from amongst them, that whatever disagreement we have, then with Ahlus Sunnah, then this is an agreed matter with them, that we can disagree and discuss things with them. So in this way they keep away from being exposed on their true realities. So it could be a safeguard mechanism regarding, this is another benefit, regarding those who are in doubt amongst themselves, amongst the Shia themselves. And therefore, the task is upon us to know the reality and the creed of this sect and to study this matter so that we learn to benefit the Muslims around us and to guard altogether from the influence of this sect upon the Ummah. So inshallah ta'ala, we will begin after this introduction to first have a historic account, a brief historic account on the sect, then afterwards begin to handle and expose their creeds one by one. So I ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the Most High, to make this effort sincere for His face, and to make it an effort that benefits myself and Muslims, and as a defense against what distorts Islam. I ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to assist me in this task. إنه ولي ذلك والقادر عليه سبحانه وتعالى والحمد لله رب العالمين صلى الله على نبينا محمد وعلى آله وصحبه وسلم.